Good morning. Welcome to Life Point Westerville. I'm Mark Shields. I'm one of the campus life pastors here. Thankful to be here this morning with you the day after we celebrate our Independence Day, right? 250 years, praise God, for being in a free country with religious liberties where we're free to share our hearts and our minds with whoever and wherever we want. God is amazing, and we are blessed to serve. The message today that we're going to go over is in John 12 and John 13. And so I want you to remember this. We're serving for treasure. Serving for treasure. That's one of the things that we're going to talk about. But I feel like there's no better way on today than to honor those who have served us in so many ways and protected us and been in that freedom. When others are running away, they are running to those things. And so if you are former military or current military, would you stand for me? Or if you are a first responder or a former first responder, would you stand up for me? That would be amazing. Thank you. Thank you all. I know that you don't feel like you need to be honored, but that's the best part, because you signed up at one point and you had no idea what your service would entail, but you did it anyway. And we sit here in freedom for other men like you who even gave their lives. So thank you for serving us so well. Would you guys join me in a word of prayer? God, we are so thankful that you have gone before us in every way. Today, Father, we know as we talk about serving for treasure, Lord, that at one point or another, you sought us out as your treasure. You've made us your very own. I pray that you would help us understand that more today. I'm reminded of your word in Galatians 5:13, where it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And so, Lord, it's such an honor to serve others and to celebrate those that serve. We ask your Holy Spirit's presence, and we ask for your blessings on the service today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, serving for treasure. There are a couple moments that I've experienced in ministry that I have been very blessed to witness. One happened a few years back. I was the children's pastor at our original Lewis Center campus before we planted Westerville, and we had all our LifePoint kids leaders once a year. We would just celebrate all that God has done, and for whatever reason, God had blessed us with this anomaly of men that were really investing in the lives of young kids. You know, typically guys will, like, you know, do Boy Scouts or softball or bow hunt, or t-ball or baseball, soccer, coach, whatever. But then you say, "Hey, serving the Lifepoint kids," and they're like, "Ah, I don't know about that." You know, well, these guys were serving. They were amazing. And so they all were former military. And for the leader appreciation, I asked them if they would come in, march in full uniform, come in. I wanted them to stand at attention, state their rank, and then state their role in LifePoint Kids. And it was way better than I imagined. I mean, they came in, you know, full march, five different guys stood in front of everybody, probably about 60, 70 other leaders. They stood at attention, stated their rank in the military, and then it was like, you know, "I'm first and second grade boys. You know, I'm second and third grade boys." Like, it was just awesome that they had, you know, done that and they were willing to serve in that way. I loved it. I'll never forget that moment. There's another young lady who served with me in our Lewis Center campus. Her name is Hunter. And Hunter was just really another anomaly, like kind of set apart in so many ways. She's a sophomore in high school. She was serving for the National Honor Society, and she came to me and she said, "Hey, Mr. Mark, you know, for National Honor Society, we need to do some service hours. I'd love to serve for my church. Do you think I could serve in LifePoint Kids and help out?" And of course, I'm like, "No. We can't just have anybody serve in LifePoint Kids. You got to wait in line. You know, no, of course. I'm like, yes, we would love to have you serve. What a blessing. You know, a sophomore in high school with a heart like that, I'm like, yes, we would love to have you serve in LifePoint Kids. And so she started serving. And then after she had served for quite a few weeks in a row, she had gotten all her hours. She came to me, had me sign her National Honor Society paper. And then she said, Mr. Mark, I loved it. Can you just put me on the schedule from here on out? I want to serve as much as I can. And I was like, yeah, we can do that, right? And then here's the best thing. Hunter, not only did she serve, but then she asked her aunt to serve with her. Then she asked her mom to serve with her. Then she asked her sister to serve with her. And then she asked some friends. Before I knew it, the McClellan family had two rooms that they were taking care of in our LifePoint Kids area all the time. And they were just amazing. I would hear crying. I would see kids with snot dripping out of their noses. And they would just be like, we got it. We're good, Mark. You know, like they just served with this great heart. I really loved it. But that was a moment. I actually will talk more about Hunter in a little bit because God had plans to use her in ways that I had no idea of when I first met her. And so I'm really thankful that I get to talk more about her. But these are the things I want us to consider today. So as you're sitting there, these two questions I want you to process. How do I currently serve and treasure others around me? How do I currently serve and treasure others around me? And then here's the second thing I want you to consider. If I sacrifice some things, how could I serve and treasure others around me even more? Okay? So if I sacrifice some things, how could I serve and treasure others around me even more? Because I really do believe that we have this unique opportunity to serve for treasure, and Jesus really shows us that. So we're going to be in John 12 and in 13. If you want to turn to John 12, 1, while you're turning there, I'll just give you a little bit of context, because in the Jewish culture at Jesus's time, it was very customary if you were staying in somebody's house and you were going to stay for a meal, that you would come in and a servant, usually a very humble, lowest of the low servant, would wash your feet as a part of being in somebody's home to keep the house clean and all those things. That was just a regular practice, something that they were obviously, they were very, very used to. Okay, but normally the person that did that was the lowest of the low and like the lowest person on the totem pole. Nobody with any prominence would ever stoop to that position and wash somebody's feet. So I think to know that really helps with the context where we're going to read in chapter 12. Because if you imagine who's at this dinner, Jesus and all the disciples, and then Mary does this super extravagant expression of service and love that's just set apart. And so this is John 12, 1 through 8. And this is what happens. 6 days after the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with them. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So can you imagine witnessing this, thinking like somebody normally would get a basin of water and start washing the disciples' feet, but then this Mary, whom was the sister of Lazarus, whom had witnessed Jesus raising her brother from the dead knew that she was in the presence of the King of Kings and the Messiah. And so her reaction to his presence was to give the best that she had to give. And it was very likely that that perfume was the most expensive thing she had. And instead of using water, she breaks it over his feet and then dries his feet with her hair. Basically, the most extravagant form of worship that you could imagine. And then the disciples are witnessing this. Judas is upset by this, but then Jesus affirms what she's doing. And he's like, no, this was good. This was right. And so imagine being the disciples there, because that really says a lot about what is going to happen and what Jesus is going to do. As this moment blew their minds were about to be blown again in John 13 because of this extravagant expression of love. So what I want us to remember, the point that I really want to take home, is that serving is an act of love. Serving is an act of love. So now, as we go into John 13, 1 through 5, we've got good context, and here's what it says. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, drying with the towel that was wrapped around him. So now we see this moment. And I want to give context, because John is writing this, the disciple whom Jesus loved, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing this obviously in retrospect, and he's remembering just how much Jesus loved. The disciples didn't know this, but Jesus knew this, that this was going to be the last supper together. This was going to be their last time. All the times before this, they had no idea. They were actually they knew that the kingdom was coming, because there was so much commotion, there was so much talk, there were so many people following Jesus, because not only were people coming to see Jesus now, but they were actually going to see Lazarus as well because of the miracle of his resurrection from the dead. And so now people are coming to Jesus everywhere. The Jewish leaders are frazzled, and so they recognize the kingdom's going to come, or something's going to happen. And they all thought that the kingdom was going to come in a way that they imagined. But of course, Jesus always does things way different, just like he's doing here. And so they sit there in this moment as he washes their feet, right? They probably felt like, Peter actually describes how they felt. We'll get to that in a second. One of the things that I'm reminded of is when you sit in a moment like this, where you witness Mary doing what she did, now they're here and they're in haste. They prepared this meal kind of quickly because there's friction, and Jesus has sent them ahead to get this, and nobody has washed anybody's feet, and the servant that normally would do it obviously wasn't there, and you can see him sitting and reclining at the table with Jesus, and so they're just thinking this is going to be another dinner, and then all of a sudden, Jesus washes their feet, and he takes off his outer garments. In that culture, what you wore on the outside represented who you were. So he was a rabbi, he was everything, but he takes off his outer garments, basically saying, I'm a humble servant, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to love you. And they just, They didn't feel like they deserved it. There's one time, actually many times, unfortunately, with a friend of mine who, his name's Josh. Me and Josh and his wife, Lori, really good friends, Colleen and I, with them, and we hang out all the time. And so Josh just has a servant heart. He loves fully. He's an all-in guy. And he would, when we hang out with him, we usually get away, and he would prepare meals like every morning and do that. And Colleen would just look at me like, huh, it's kind of nice, isn't it? Uh-huh. And then we would go out on dates together, like go to dinner, watch a movie. And then he would be there, and he would walk over to his wife's door and open the door. And Colleen would just look at me like, it's kind of nice, isn't it, Mark? And I'd be like, dang it. He was always like that guy, right? And luckily I've gotten better over the years, but I really feel like that's how the disciples are approaching this moment. Like, oh my gosh, Jesus is doing this? Oh. After having just witnessed what they witnessed, can you imagine? Here's the beautiful thing I want us to remember from this too, is that Jesus, you know, cleans their feet, right? He gets more and more dirty as they get more and more clean. He knew that he was going to take all the dirtiness, not only of their physical bodies, but everything that they had ever done, and he was taking it to the cross. And this was just a physical representation of that. And for you and for me, it's just a good reminder that Jesus has always been and will always be the only one who makes us clean. So here at LifePoint, one of the things that I have witnessed as one of the leaders that have served here is a guy named Zach Davis. He's a great dude. I love him. He serves in students. He serves on Next Steps. And he's a life group leader. So he and his family serve in lots of different ways. And he came up to me and he said, hey, Mark, I'd love to have dinner with you. Normally, I'm like, great. But not often do guys just want to have a dinner with somebody without something going on their mind, especially as a pastor. So usually I'm thinking, maybe he's going through a hard time. Maybe I can help with it. Maybe he's witnessed some things and like he wants to just let me know like of some hard things that I might need to do or help with. That's what's going on in my mind. We go to dinner and we sit down at Panera. We get the meal. He looks at me and he goes, hey, man, like I've just noticed that over the winter, you just haven't quite been you. And I feel like you're going through some stuff. And I just want to let you know, like, I love you. I care about you. And if you need me to do more, I'll do it. I don't want you to carry the weight that you're carrying. Can I help you in some ways? And I'm like, what? I was like, I really, as a guy from another brother in Christ, like I felt loved. I felt cared for. Like nothing that I expected. As the pastor, you just don't expect that. You expect to do that. You don't expect somebody to serve you like that. And I just felt absolutely loved. Serving is an act of love. Serving, the next point I want us to think about is serving is often an uncomfortable step of faith. Right? Serving is often an uncomfortable step of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so right here, this next portion of scripture, Simon kind of conveys, Simon Peter, what's going on. So John 13:6-9 says this. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. You just gotta love Peter, right? God always putting his foot in his mouth, like, no, I'm not gonna do this. And then Jesus is like, if you don't let me serve you, you have no part with me. You know, that's one of the things that I feel like that we need to glean from, because a lot of times because of our pride, we don't want to be the ones that get served. We want to serve others. But I'll just tell you is that when the Lord prompts you to serve, when you get the opportunity to serve, not only is he going to use you to bless somebody else, but he's going to do a work in you at the same time. He's a multi-layered God. He's always doing lots of things at the same time. And so when you get served, let people serve you. If a person has been prompted by the Lord, serve, let them serve. You never know how God might bless you, and then also what they're doing inside of them. And Peter is right here. He had no idea what God was planning. And he actually said that, like, you don't understand now, but you will. Can you imagine how he must have reflected on this moment where Jesus is washing his feet, taking his dirty feet and washing them? Hard to imagine. It's one of the things that I think that we often don't realize is we don't understand that in these moments of serving, we don't really get what's happening, but later on, we get to see it, right? Like, in the moment, sometimes it's a little frustrating. In the moment, sometimes it's a little hard. In the moment, sometimes you don't see it, but then later on, you realize that God was orchestrating everything that you've been a part of for his work and for his purposes. And so God always is doing way more than you imagine. And serving is, like I said, obviously it's an uncomfortable step of faith. One of the ways that I feel like I've witnessed that here many times is the people that serve in LifePoint Kids. We had a young kiddo that was going through separation anxiety, and mom and dad had been coming for like, I think a year, maybe even more than a year. And they had been real dedicated, but they had never been able to go to service together because their young boy was just, you know, didn't want to go in the kids area. And so he would cry, he would get frustrated. And so they would take turns going into service. Well, our LifePoint Kids director and some of our other leaders noticed, hey, we'd like to be a blessing. We want to help with this if we can. And so they came up with a plan, mom and dad, and they were like, hey, we're going to serve every week to help. That way, this young boy knows who he's working with and he feels more comfortable, and they're going to start serving every week. And guess what? Not long at all, he actually loves going to LifePoint Kids now. And mom and dad have been able to sit in service together and worship together for the first time in a long time. And that was just a way that, you know, even though it was uncomfortable, trust me, they had to deal with crying and tears and frustration, but they went through it. And now God was doing some really, really cool things. And so God just does that. Serving is often an uncomfortable step of faith, but we do it anyway. And then the next thing I want us to think about is serving is an honor because of who we represent. Okay, serving is an honor because of who we represent. Let's go into these next verses, John 13, 10 through 17. Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So Jesus does this extravagant, loving thing right before he's going to the cross, the Last Supper with his best friends, the guys that he's invested in more. They don't really have a clue exactly what's going on, and they don't know that their Savior is about to go to the cross, but he knows. And he's doing this as an act of love. But the thing that just is otherworldly, that just stands out, that's just set apart, that doesn't exist on this earth apart from Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, is the who he washed the feet of. He got more and more dirty as they got more and more clean. But how do you feel like he felt when he grabbed Judas's feet and he put them in the water and he started wiping Judas's feet with that towel? He was loving Judas just like he loved the rest of them. Do you think he wanted to do that? Do you think he wanted what was happening in the future? He knew, and he knew why he had come, and he knew he was finishing the work. He was going all the way, and he loved them anyway. That's just otherworldly. To love like that. Here's the other thing that just blows my mind about this moment, is that Jesus, the King of all kings, he has all the gifts. He's the best teacher. He's the most loving. He's the most merciful. He's the most prophetic. He knows what's happening. Every gift that's ever been given, he possesses. He's the owner of all those gifts. Actually, without him, those gifts don't exist. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. And the way that he loves and he serves the ones that he loves most is by taking off his outer garments and who he represents and taking the posture of a humble servant. And he just loves them. I can't imagine looking into Jesus' eyes in those moments. But I guarantee you, as he held their feet, they felt loved. And just think about how it must have felt in retrospect once they saw him go to the cross and rise again. Amazing, amazing stuff. Now, I want to kind of go back to Hunter because God had used Hunter in some ways that I never expected. She had come to me shortly after she started serving. Now, she was between the summer of her junior and senior year, and she had said, you know, when I served, I like serving in babies, but I remember when I did my National Honor Society service hours that I got to teach the kids about God's word, and so I would love it if you would move me into the juniors' room where I could start to teach them about God's word and the Bible. And I was like, Hunter, that's just awesome. That's amazing. Unfortunately, Hunter would never get the chance to do that. Because on 7/17/17, she left a family cookout with her boyfriend, Gavin. And I've got a picture of him right there. And her car went left to center, struck head on, and Hunter and Gavin both lost their lives. And it was a shock to the church. It was a shock to me. I had no idea what to do or why. But God was going to use her to show me his heart, to show me how we get to serve for treasure. We get to serve for treasure. And so the Sunday after the car accident, we had pregame. All the leaders are in pregame, and this will just show you her heart. We're all there as LifePoint kids. We're talking about it. I want to do something to honor her, her memory. And so I'm just sharing that they're the best of the best in the room, that every single one of them is the best of the best. And they don't realize it, but God had placed them there just like he had used Hunter. He knew that they just because they said their yes, he does the work. You just put your yes on the table. The Jesus does everything. And I mentioned that to him. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see her aunt crying. I talked with her aunt really quick, and she said, well, even though we just lost her, I knew she would be here, and so I wanted to be here. And then I talked with her the next day over the phone because she was in tears, and I just wanted to make sure she was doing okay. And I wanted to share with her something that God had showed me through his word in Matthew. when my son was going through diabetes and I was asking the question why, the Lord used this scripture in a really powerful way. And it's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the Lord had taught me through my son that even though he was going to go through diabetes his whole life, that one day that was going to be a thing of the past once he's with the King and he's in heaven. And it was what my heart needed. I wanted to share with her aunt that Hunter was a treasure stored up for her. She's more alive now than she had ever been in her life. And so she is now a treasure that you have to look forward to seeing one day. I know it's going to be hard when she's not here. And she said, oh, Mark, that's just what I needed to hear. Thank you so much. I get off the phone with her. I'm sitting at my desk. And there's this whiteboard on the wall. And I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, I got to figure out a way to treasure this girl. And I just wrote on the whiteboard, treasure Hunter. Lord, how do I treasure Hunter? And then it was almost like I looked back at the whiteboard, and it was almost like those words jumped off the whiteboard. And the Lord was like, this is not what you need to do for her. This is who she was for me. Hunter was my treasure hunter. She went after kids with the gospel. She wanted to teach them the truth. She wanted to teach them who I am, the only one that can save them. She wanted to teach them about me. She's my treasure hunter. And she brought others in. She brought her mom, her dad, her aunt, everybody. She was bringing others in to be a part of the work that I'm doing. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It was like those verses, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you think about the kingdom of God. Are you looking forward to, you know, a room? Are you looking forward to things on the wall in the room that he'll prepare for you? Or are you looking forward to people? See, people are the treasure. And we get to serve them. We get to serve them just like Hunter. And so today, I'm asking you to consider serving others in Jesus' name. Serving here at LifePoint Church. I've got bracelets outside. We're going to have some people there. And these bracelets say treasure hunter on them, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. I'm going to give you a chance to serve the King and serve at his church. I pray you'd really consider it. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer? God, thank you so much. At one point, we were all absolutely lost and dirty and stuck in our sin, and you sent somebody with your word. You sent somebody after us with your treasure, with your gospel, the truth about who you are. And we said yes. And you made us your very own. You've made us clean. You've got plans for us. In that moment, you let us be a part of your work, and you put your Holy Spirit in us. And now we get to be a part of your work forever and ever. Help us be treasure hunters. Help us see your people as treasure to be found. Lord, use this church and use these people. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.